at me.
Othello on the beat. What's going on, everybody? Jay Wright with Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 19, and I am so excited to have you all joining me for this episode, this conversation that we're getting ready to have. I'm excited about the subject. Today's subject, or today's episode title, is entitled Love, Honor, Obey. And the reason why we got obey, because obey, we wanted to stand out. And y'all know where that comes from. That comes from the marriage vows that we, most of us, take. But with me on today is not a new guest, but a special guest nonetheless. And I'm talking about my wife for over 11 years, my girlfriend for 14 years. Nobody other than the beautiful Miss Akeisha Wright. What's going on, Keisha?
Hello, everyone.
All right. So, like I said, today's topic is love, honor, obey. And we're talking about the taboo or difficult subject of submission. Submission. Am I saying it right? Submission?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Submission. Because we live in a new society now where people are against that word or against the thought of being submitted unto someone. We do believe in the Bible. We believe in biblical principles. And the Bible says for a wife to be submitted unto her husband, her own husband. And but there's so much more that we want to discuss when it comes down to the topic of submission. And we'll go in a little further, so I don't want to jump ahead, but when I say submission, Keisha, what comes to your mind?
For me, submission, my first word would be trust. For me, it's like I trust the vision that the man that God has for me has set. I trust the plan. So for me, that word means trust.
Okay, so We're going to try not to get too spiritual on it. We just want to talk from a man and a woman perspective. And of course, we're going to be a little spiritual because that's who we are. We just, you know, that's our position. That's the life we live. We are Christians. We are believers. So that's going to be in it. But we don't want to be so, oh, I believe the, you know, we don't want all of that. But we want to talk from the man's woman point of view. Now, like I said before, we've been married for 11 years. 11 long, beautiful years. But when we first got married, you had this stigma that people thought that I was controlling you or I was, I don't want to say manipulating you or that you were just this quote unquote slave. And I'm not so much talking about family, but I'm talking about friends as well too, because Keisha never had a problem with submitting to me as her husband, as her leader, as the head of the household. She never gave me a problem in our 11 years of being married and our 14 years of being together. She always trust me in that position, and she always let me be who I was going to be or who I was supposed to be. So let's talk a little bit about those experiences that you had.
Yeah. It was, like you said, it was, I think maybe the first 2 years of our marriage. I've encountered with a few acquaintances where, I think we actually sat down and had a conversation, and someone actually told me that I was being too submissive, and being married for the first time, I really didn't understand what that means. But I was told that a lot by a few people that I was too submissive to you, that I guess the way that most women would react when it comes to certain situations or circumstances between us, I didn't react in that way. And I guess that kind of threw them off. So with that, that was pretty much what I've gotten for a while, was that I was just being too submissive to you. And I guess it was being misconstrued that you were the dogmatic one. Mm-hmm. And I was just this weak woman.
Right. And that could be
the furthest thing from the truth. And I always said that Keisha, in our relationship, Keisha is the brains of the relationship. She's the smarter one to me in this relationship. She always have been. And I'm not saying that I'm dumb or nothing like that, but you are very wise. You are very mature for your age. And one thing that I will always say in front of your face, behind your back, that you never took any advice from anybody that you didn't think was good for your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when that conversation came, you know, we were able to talk about it or whatever like that. And it did not change your mind about how your approach to how we carried our relationship.
Right.
A lot of decisions that were made was discussed between us beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
What they would see is I was the ones basically executing the plan that we've already discussed.
Right.
And it's like, y'all just don't know. Keisha is the one that came up with this. So I'm looked at as the bad guy. I'm looked at as the quote unquote, as you said,
right,
dogmatic one. When the truth is, Keisha was the brains behind this, what y'all seeing me do.
Right.
And you know, you might not like what's going on, but this is what me and my wife and I, we have discussed.
Right.
And what we said we were going to do and how we were going to operate in whatever the situation was. But we got that stigma a lot. A lot of people thought that, you know, Olajuwon's controlling, Olajuwon's making Keisha do this, or he's making Keisha think this way, or whatever the case may be. And like I said, that's the furthest thing from the truth. If you knew some of the decisions that Keisha wanted me to do, and I fought against it.
Lord have mercy.
But people thought that, you know, it was me, my doing. When the truth was, it was really Keisha doing. But that was something that we decided that we were going to do, and we did it. So, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I have to give my wife the credit that she deserves, because she is not a puppet by a long shot. She is not the princess from Coming to America, whatever you like. She has her own mind. She has her own thought. And it's messed up that people would think that just because she doesn't react the way that you react.
And that's it. I think, 'cause everybody who knows us, I'm more the laid back one. You're more of the, I would say, the life of the party. And people that know you personally would say, you know, they know how you are. And one of the things, and you said it earlier about how there's agreement behind the scenes. And I feel that's one of the most important parts when it comes to a marriage. And when we're talking about submission, there has to be communication. Communication, I feel, is very important when it comes to a marriage.
Right.
It's very, very important. And I feel like with submission, when it comes to communication, both sides, it's not that, like I said earlier, it's not that, oh, LaJuan is saying this, 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 and what have you, and I'm just not saying anything.
Right.
No, it's both sides are being heard. And we, and one thing that we always do, we listen to one another and we come to a common ground to where it's not like we said earlier, it's not about, this is what I say and this what, and no, that's not what that's about.
How many times have you ever heard me use the line, "This my house and it goes how I say"?
Never.
I've never had to say that. Because, like you said, communication is key. And like I said, we've learned this through growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where we're strong in this topic in our marriage you know, we've had some other things, some other shortcomings or whatever like that within our marriage. We've had some other things that we've had to overcome or what have you. But as far as when it comes down to that, I never felt like I had to push my weight or push who I am for Keisha to do what I ask her to do or what I want her to do or anything like that. So, yeah, that to me, I don't like that. And I wouldn't do anybody like that, especially somebody that I love. I've never felt like I had to throw my weight around. And I got a lot of weight to throw, but I ain't never had to throw my weight around or whatever like that. So what I want to do is we want to talk from different perspectives, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's because we are believers in the Bible, and the Bible says that a wife should be submissive to her husband, and the husband should be. Should love his wife the way that Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. I think that those are two perspectives that we both can speak on, because one thing we've always established, and whenever we do marriage counseling with other couples or what have you, one thing we always say, yeah, we believe that a wife should be submissive to her husband. But one thing about it is that the husband should give something for the wife to be submitted under.
Exactly.
How can you expect your wife to submit to something that you're not giving her nothing to submit to?
Exactly.
You're not operating in your man role. You're not operating in your leadership role. Mm-hmm. You're not operating in your God-given role, your responsibilities. So why would you expect a woman to, you know, be submissive to you or to do as I say or whatever like that when you're not even doing what you're supposed to do
right.
for her to want to submit?
Right.
So we want to talk a little bit from both of those roles. So Keisha, I'll start and I'll continue on. I've kind of been going on. I've been talking about it a little bit now. Just the importance of making sure that your wife has something to submit under, making sure that you are a leader first,
right.
making sure that you are an example first, making sure it's not doing what I said, but we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. And I'm making sure that I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Just as well as you make sure you hold up yours. I feel like this leadership role is more than just a position. It's a command, basically saying that God gave me this role as a man, and it's my job to, one, set the vision for my family,
mm-hmm.
two, set the plan for that vision, and then lastly, execute that plan. So I'm going to say that again. Have a vision, set the plan, execute the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That will give your wife something that she wants to submit to,
right.
something she wants to follow. And that word submit ain't a slave term.
It's not.
It's a following term. Just as we trust God, God is the head, and it's that man's job to follow God. It's just like a mother duck that is on a trail
mm-hmm.
with her children following behind her. They're in a row. And that's just like how it is in the family aspect. You have God that's leading, then a man is behind God, and then a woman. And then if there is children there, the children follow behind. There's a God order. And there's a God order in everything. And I think we have to start breaking these things down so that people can understand that it's not what you think it is.
Not.
Get rid of the slave mindset. Oh, he trying to tell you what to do. He trying to control you. Man, I ain't trying to control nobody because I can barely can control my own self. But what I am trying to do is I'm trying to get us to the place where I feel God is calling us to be as a family.
Right.
As a family unit.
Right.
So it's my job to seek God and to pray and to for God to give me what to do. And then I go back to my wife and say, here's the plan. And we talk about it. We pray about it. And then and this one thing that I've done with Akeisha. Anytime that I've stepped out on faith and I say, okay, this is what God calling me to do. Or this is what God calling for us to do. What I do is I say, okay, God, I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to go to my wife. But my prayer is that you confirm within her
yeah,
what you're telling me,
yeah,
so that she can have her mind at ease when it's time to go or whatever like that. When it's time to make that move, she can make that move because you've already confirmed in her heart that this is you and this is of you. Does it happen all the time? No, because sometimes God tests our faith, but eventually she sees that what's going on is God and is of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes her follow the trust the plan even the more. So I'm gonna say that again. As men, we have to have a vision, have a plan, then be the leader in executing that plan. Don't expect your wife to do something that you're not willing to do. Don't expect your mate to do something that you're not willing to do. You know what I'm saying? You got to be the first partaker in it. Christ was the first partaker. If anything happens to this family, I'm the first one. Nothing will happen to this family without it happening to me first, because I'm the first partaker. We must love our wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do? Christ gave it all. He put it all on the line. He died. He was willing to lay down his life for the church. And that's the same thing, men, we have to be. We have to be willing to lay down our lives for the church. And let me take it to this level. It ain't even so much a physical death, but it's your mentality as well.
Mm.
Lay down your pride.
That's good.
Sacrifice your pride. Sacrifice what you say do for the betterment of the family. Be willing to sacrifice your will so that the will of God for the family can flourish. That's I hope good. I'm making sense what
no,
I'm
that's
saying.
That's good. That's real good.
So we got to be willing to make that sacrifice and to lay down whatever it is so that our family can be the best that it can be. So don't ask your wife to submit to anything that you haven't given thought to or right. prayer to or consulted God about. Because for her to submit, a woman needs to see and she needs to feel like she got something worth submitting to.
Right.
So as far as like the submitting, when I say that, what are the thoughts that come to your mind?
The first thing that I think, like I said earlier, is about trust. When you enter into a marriage, I feel that trust has to be the biggest thing that you, and I know we said that it's not going to be so much spiritual, but it's just like your relationship with God. God calls you to do certain things and you're not going to always see it. You're not going to always understand it. But because for one, you've seen God's resume. One of the things that I knew about Elijah Ron before we got married, I knew his intentions for me as my husband. I knew his intentions and his plans for me as my husband. So that was something that was established even before we got married.
Mm.
So that was one of the things that I knew, even through the ups and downs and the, you know, pretty much dealing with life, it was the fact that I still what kept me from, you know, going haywire or losing my mind or anything like that. I always held on to what we established before we got married. And I do believe that is something that is very important. Don't just jump into marriage or jump into this with just your emotions.
Mm.
And then you are not prepared for those faith-based type of decisions or those life out of your control type of decisions to where, okay, your spouse is your husband, the man is responsible and looked upon to make certain decisions that you are going to be completely like, you're not going to understand at all. There's been so many different things that Elijah Ron has talked to me about. And I'm like, huh? But because I trust my husband, even if I didn't understand it, it was because of the fact that I trust you. So I feel trust and communication is very important. You can't make decisions. You can't just go into everything with just your emotions. Sometimes you have to be sober-minded. You have to be mature. And to be able to follow what you said earlier, to follow pretty much what we were saying, that's another word for submission. You have to have that mentality in order to follow. Mm. If you don't, you're going to be blinded. Because you being distracted, you looking everything else instead of having that tunnel vision focusing on you following that plan that your husband has set. So I hope that
makes
sense.
It makes sense. It makes sense. And I completely agree with everything that you're saying. I think one thing why it is so hard to accept that word submission or obedience is because we've lost. All right, I'm gonna talk to the ladies for a little bit, and y'all are more than welcome to share y'all opinions. Put it on Instagram, AJ Radio, AYEJEY Radio on Instagram to respond back or what have you. If you have any disagreements or objections to what we're talking about, but one thing I think. The enemy has tricked us to make us think that we're one way, or we should be treated one way when God has intended for us to be treated that way, but in his way.
Right.
And what I mean by that is we've taken on the women have taken on this independent mindset of this, I'll do it by myself, not trust. You do what you got to do. I don't need a man or whatever like that. That's better than the independent thing. I don't need a man. The man is useless or whatever like that. Because what happened is I believe that we have lost our value, or we haven't found our identity. As men, we haven't given our women identity, and the women, if you had it, you lost it. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, you don't know how valuable you are. Women are the dopest individuals. Women are the dopest creation God has ever made. I mean, Tupac Shakur said it like this: I love women. And when I was a young kid and I heard him say that, I felt that. Because I love women. Women are just the most beautiful thing in the world to me. Now, granted, I'm in love with one woman, but the woman itself, their self in itself, I believe you are a beautiful creature. You are a beautiful being. God did his thing when he created a woman. And we've lost that value, or we've taken away that value, or we never found that value in a woman. Don't you know that you are precious like a jewel? This is why God says for you all to hide yourself. You go hide yourself, not to be controlled, but to hide yourself so that when you are found, you are valued and you are appreciated and you are loved the way that you deserve. You should be loved. But we've lost our identity and we don't hide ourselves anymore. The women are now becoming the aggressors. And what happens is you start becoming bitter because you allow the men to take advantage of the gift that you are. And you start devaluing yourself for that man or for that attention. Not for a husband, not for a leader. You start selling yourself short. You're selling yourself to a pawn shop that's not going to give you what you're worth.
That's good.
And they're going to use you and abuse you. And then you are bitter. And the next thing you know, you're spewing that I don't need a man. Well, I think you do need a man. And not only do I think you need a man, but the man needs the woman as well.
Yeah.
I did not unlock the favor of God in my life until I got with my wife. The Bible is true in what it says. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor from God. I did not unlock the favor of God on my life until I got with my wife. Things did not start opening up for me. Doors did not start opening up for me in my life until I found my wife. That's how valuable you are. You are the key to a man's favor. You are the access to God's favor in a man's life. But you won't let him do the work to find you because you're devaluing yourself and you're selling yourself short for attention's sake. And then when the person who's only giving you attention messes over you, you become bitter. And then you want to put all these men in a box. Well, all men are not like that. We're not all like that. And by no means am I saying that I'm a perfect man, that I'm just the perfect husband. No, man, I mess up all the time. But guess what? I know what I need to do if I mess up, if I stumble. You know, Keisha is my best friend. And I don't say that likely. I don't say that, you know, just because we doing an episode together. I'm saying this because time has proven that she is my best friend. You know, I used to say that all the time when we first got together. Oh, Keisha's my best friend. She's my best friend or whatever like that. And when we first got married. And my uncle, KB James, y'all know I talk about him all the time. And he was like, stop calling her your best friend. She's not your best friend. And it made me mad at first. But he went on to explain, she's not your best friend yet. She'll prove over time whether she's your best friend or not. And now that I can say after 11 years of being married, 14 years of being together, she has proven herself to be my best friend. When I tried to replace her with other people or whatever like that, other guys, oh, that's my homie, that's my brother, that's my dog, that's my best friend. Man, nah, none of them cats compared to my wife. She is the most loyal friend that God has ever graced me with and blessed me with. And I hope I'm the same way to her as well. But it had to be established first. Mm-hmm. That's her value. She is a treasure that will never run out of rewards if I take care of it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Shut up.
Make me.
Anyways. She is a woman is a gift that appreciates if you take care of her.
That's good.
And I'm not calling y'all anything that y'all not. I just want y'all to really get in y'all head, women, my sisters, how dope y'all are. Y'all are the it factor in the world. Don't get it twisted. That can never be a replacement of a woman. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you try to turn yourself into, and I ain't knocking nobody and I ain't knocking nothing, but I'm just talking from a logical perspective. Ain't nothing like a woman.
James Brown said it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Without woman or girl. no, but man, I just really, really, really want to get that in y'all head. How wonderful y'all are, man. And I think once we step up and we start showing y'all value and showing y'all how appreciated you are and not taking y'all for granted. Mm-hmm. And then, no, you don't got to praise the woman. She's not to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped.
Yeah.
A lot of us overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
To where, you know, you in turn become submissive to the woman. Now that's another subject. We're gonna go down that conversation. We have that conversation a lot. Because you know, we me and Keisha talk about these kind of things like that. But you can overdo it too.
Yeah.
And don't get your affections mixed up with love, attention mixed up with love. Just because I'm giving you attention, that don't mean I love you. That's I can give a lot of people attention, y'all, but I can only love one person. I love my wife. God has blessed me with a platform, and he's blessed us with a platform where we have influence over a lot of people or whatever like that, as well as they have over us as well. But that don't mean I love them the way I love my wife. I'd be lying if I said that. I got the love I have for Akeisha is exactly for Akeisha and nobody else.
Amen.
So don't get the attention that's shown that can be masquerade as love or dressed up as love when it's really not love, it's just attention.
And if I could say something about that, and this is just from growing experiences and seeing, you know, experiencing with other people. One of the things when it comes to love, and like I said, I'm trying not to be spiritual, but when it comes to love, you know, it talks about how love, about love being patient, being kind, that it doesn't envy, you know, it doesn't give a lot of negativity. But when it comes to attention, when it comes to love, one thing that I can say, when it came to Olajuwon and I getting together to where we knew that marriage was the next step, was that all I had to do was give him my heart. I didn't have to jump through no loops or do all of this different stuff to get his love. When it comes to attention, that's in one thing that I've noticed when it comes to people wanting attention, that it doesn't matter if it's good or bad attention. It's just the fact that it's attention. And you doing all of these different things. Like he said earlier, you're devaluing yourself. You going out of character. You going out of how you've been raised and your morals and your beliefs just for attention. And one thing about love, love will stand on its own.
Yeah.
But with attention, it's pretty much going to keep draining. It's going to keep draining. You're pretty much putting water in a broken glass. You're filling it up, but it just keeps depleting. And you doing all this and all of this and all of this time is draining you at the end.
And what happens is your relationship was established on attention and the materialistic things and not so much the love. And that foundation, what happens is you got to pour so much out. And like you just said, Keisha, you keep running on empty with that attention. What happens is you end up burning out.
Yeah.
And then that's how you become bitter. That's how you start saying, I don't need a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't need a man or whatever like that. I'm just going to, you know, get mine and whatever like that. And that's not the way that God intended for the family to be. And I think it's just time for us to reestablish the family.
I agree. I feel that when it comes to the what you were saying about the value, what you said about women, I say that with for our perspective, that as a woman, when it comes to a man, it's the same way with y'all. Like, God did something when he created man. You would never hear me say, of course, because I'm happily married, but even before I met Olajuwon, I never had it in my mindset that I don't want a man or I don't need a man. That is the furthest from the truth. That is something that I've always wanted, was a man, a good man, fine man.
Oh, Lord. Hopefully one day you get it.
Whatever. I got it. Had it for 14 years. What you talking about? But no, like I said, I feel like the people that feel, they say they don't need a man, be the main ones that want a man, but they have to put on this front that they have to be this big, strong, you got your chest all pumped up because you trying to mask the hurt and the betrayal or whatever you dealt with beforehand. So you use that I don't need a man thing when you know you need a man. I don't care what nobody say. There's nothing better than to have the protection and the security and just the trying not to get all fuzzy, warmy and stuff. But it's nothing like having a good man on your side and just the presence of a man in front of you, I promise y'all, there it's nothing like it. So, and like I said, and it's not putting in this one thing my grandmother told me, when you said what you said, you know, you should never put a man or a woman where God is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. God is a jealous God, and he's not going to have nobody before him. So please understand, I don't put Elijah on before God.
And I wouldn't let it, and vice versa.
Yeah, that is not what this is. It's just honoring and praising the Lord for the creation he made. I'm trying not to be spiritual.
Move along.
But no, it's what you said earlier when it comes to the submission is having something to submit to. And I can say that I have someone, not just a vision or a plan, but I actually have someone to submit to.
Mm.
Because, like I said, I love what I have. And because I love what I have, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure I maintain what I have.
And that's good. And by no means are we saying that you won't be enough if you don't have a man or have a woman. No, right. You are enough.
Right.
And that's the point that we're trying to get you to see.
Right.
You are enough.
Yes.
And if God blesses someone to find out that you are enough, you're all that person needs. There's no need to try to be a player because the person that you have is all you need.
Right.
I want to say this, and we got a couple more minutes left in this episode, and then we're going to get out of here. But I want to say a couple of things. I want to reemphasize about that value of a woman and the reason why you submit. And God showed this to me, gave me this example last year, and I told it to the church last year about, you know, how there's a celebrity that's very, very famous, mm-hmm. a famous celebrity, mm-hmm. and then there's a crowd of people that wants to get to that celebrity, but that celebrity needs to get to their car, mm-hmm. and their car takes them to their destination. And in order for them to get through the crowd, mm-hmm. they need to have a security guard that they have to submit under or submit to the direction where they're leading them to for them to get to where they want to be.
Yeah.
That's the same thing for a wife and for a husband. It is that husband's job to maneuver his family through the crowd to get them to their destination. Yeah. And the wife should trust that husband to get there. But no, she ain't gonna trust you if you a sorry security guard. If you getting pushed around, you getting thrown around or whatever like that, tossed to the side, are you distracted? You're not focused on getting them to the place where they want to be. Of course she's not gonna trust you.
Ain't no woman gonna want no weak punk of a man. She's
spiritual now. She using the word punk.
I mean, but that's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's funny. That's funny. it all works together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you are enough.
You are.
Whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you are enough. And I believe that if it's your will and you ask God to give you somebody, women, you go hide yourself. Men, you gonna find her. When y'all come together, y'all gonna be even better.
Yes.
Akeisha is enough on her own. I'm enough on my own. But together, man, we can be something awesome. And we're in the midst of being awesome and something great coming out, what God is producing between us. And more than just these three beautiful crazy beings that we have in Venturi, Harmony, and Riley. And if y'all heard some noise, that was probably Riley because she don't want to go to bed. But, you know, other than that, we got so much in common and we got so many common goals that we're going to accomplish together before it's all said and done. And we're just pushing each other to get to that next level. I would not be where I am today if it was not for Akeisha. And And I told y'all the reason why we even have this podcast is because of her. She told me, "You, it's time for you to step out. You know what's in you. It's time for you to go ahead and do it." And if I didn't have her blessing, guess what? I'd still be out there trying to get it. Unhappy, but still trying to get it. But guess what? Since I've been out here doing it, God hadn't failed us yet.
Not at all.
As a matter of fact, we've had more now that I've stepped out than I had
before.
And it's amazing how faith works. And it takes like-minded individuals to walk in faith together.
Yeah.
And I just honor my wife, and I honor all women, and I honor the brothers out there too. Know your worth, know your value, stop selling yourself short.
Right.
I put it like this, a real man, and like I said, I ain't perfect by no means, please believe. But I this is my mentality. My wife is so valuable to me, and because she submits to me, it's my determination to make sure that I satisfy her in every aspect of her life. In every aspect of her life. And this is my honest prayer to God. God, help me to see her beauty. And help me to help her realize how beautiful she is. Because I'd rather be a master that has mastered one woman than to be a jack of all trades that's trying to figure out multiple women, how to handle multiple women.
My word.
I'd rather master and please my wife in every aspect, spiritually, physically, financially, mentally. Did I say that already?
Mm-hmm.
Sexually. In every aspect of our lives, I want to please my wife because she's that valuable, because she is who she portrays on the outside. She's that on the inside. And I hope I'm the same way too. Just like I told that church, the church Sunday where we spoke at, I said, if none of y'all don't cheer for me, that's okay, because I'm not in a relationship with y'all. I look back to make sure that 5'7" woman standing up probably done took her shoes off because her feet hurt. I'm making sure she's standing up and she's cheering and pushing me on, because if nobody else cheers for me and she is, I'll be all right. But if everybody else is cheering for me and Keisha's there sucking her teeth, complaining about he don't take care of his kids, he don't take care of home, he called himself to be a pastor, but he can't even pass his own home. Man, I got a major problem.
Right.
I have a major issue with pastors that do not have their wives with them where they go at.
Exactly.
Are they not talking about their families? You don't even know that the man is married or not. You don't even know that he has kids or not, because he's never putting them on the front for it's a forefront. It's all about him. And that's not what God intended to be. It's time for us to reaffirm and reestablish the family. And I feel like that's what one of our callings is as the leaders of Run Jacksonville, to reaffirm and reestablish the family aspect back in the world.
Because that's what it's about.
To the best of our ability. That's what it's all about. So, you know, I know I just went on a rant. I went on a couple of rants because this is something. I'm sorry. This is something that I'm.
This is your passion.
It's something I'm passionate about. God, man, we got to get the family back together. Like, wives, you're not a slave. You're not a doormat. You're not to be abused or walked mm-hmm. over. But you are value. You are a treasure,
yeah.
And you should be treated as such.
Exactly.
You're not for to see Beyonce just had this big controversy or whatever like that for the diamond she wore for the Tiffany company. You're not for to see her wearing any and everywhere. That diamond that she had on was worth value.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you she had security guards. She had everybody, people with guns or whatever like that. They weren't trying to be submissive to the treasure. The treasure wasn't being treated as a slave. No, it was being treated that way because it had value. What are you talking about, Olajuwon? The woman should be protected and should be cared for, because not to be a slave, but because she's value. And women, you are valuable.
Right.
Brothers, you have the God given responsibility to find your wife, establish your family, and build a dynasty.
Exactly.
So I'm going to get these last couple of minutes to Keisha, and we're going to get out of here. So if there's anything that you would say in the last couple of minutes, what advice would you give, whether it's to the man or to the woman or to both? What is it that the last final thoughts that you would say that you would want them to think upon?
I would just say this in general. It could be taken from a male or female perspective. As we mentioned earlier, that word submit, obey, follow, that has been screwed up and twisted and perverted into something which is not. It is not a form of control. It to the ladies, it is not to take away your identity. It is not to take away your quote unquote freedom to be a woman. That's not what that is. It's not, that's not what it's about. It's having, it's trusting in some, just like I said, I know we're not being spiritual, but I can't help it. But the Bible talks about submitting unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. There's always going to be, I look at it as to a point of order. There's always going to be some kind of order. And I feel like when it comes to family, it's all about order. So it's not to just look, like I said, just don't look at it as it's something being taken away from you. Because like I said, I've dealt with this from women around my circle, women at my jobs. This has been a touchy subject when it comes to the word submission. And I feel that is my part, our part, to, you know, just break the barriers of what that really means. Mm. I submit unto my husband because I have something to submit to. And I'm not just submitting to no sorry joker. That's not what this is. He doesn't abuse me. He does not treat me wrong or any kind of way. He protect. There, one thing that I do want to say, that there are benefits behind the submission. Just like the Bible says to seek the Lord first. Okay, I'm submitting to my husband first. And there are benefits that comes behind my submission to my husband.
Right.
Because my husband protects me. My husband takes care of me. There's nothing that I am in need for, because regardless of whatever it is, because I trust him, and because there is communication, there's common ground between the both of us. There, like I said, I get, and every need is met because of the path that I follow in the vision that is given to my husband. So hopefully this has been an encouragement to all, that it opens up your eyes, opens up your ears, and kind of just makes you think more about what that word means. It's not in all means. You're not men. You're not a slave. You're not a doormat. Women, you are not a slave. You are not a doormat. This is, like I said, it's not taking anything away from you. This is just opening up a door to a whole world of what you could tap into. So that's all I have to say.
Know your value. Know your worth. And allow your worth and your value to be appreciated. All right. Thank you so much, Keisha, for being with me on this episode.
Thank you for having me, boo.
Whatever. No, but thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode. Like I said, even if I'm not trying to change your whole mindset, think about what we said. And hopefully it makes sense. And don't come in, listen to, hopefully you haven't become defensive about it. I'm just asking for open ears and an open mindset. And let God lead you the rest of the way, all right? I love y'all. Thank y'all again for listening to this episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. We'll be back next week for another episode of the Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Until then, remember to be productive, be purposeful, and always produce. All right? Love y'all. Talk to y'all next time.